Shared opportunity. James Parker reports on how Asil Architecture achieved a pioneering co-living scheme which used a difficult site to the full to give single occupants and key workers a foothold in London, plus co-working and shared amenities to combat loneliness. Sunday Mills, in Wandsworth, southwest London, is a new iteration of the co-living concept which brings the benefits of shared facilities to the fore, and resolves a site which was a long-running conundrum. Completed in October 2022, this is the first large-scale co-living project in the borough, providing 315 self-contained studios powered completely by low-carbon technologies. But it also has a 35% allocation of studios allocated as locally affordable, targeted at key workers and young people leaving foster care in particular, giving them a rare opportunity to live closer to the centre of the capital and their workplaces, in high-quality homes. Innovating in a use class which was lacking specific planning policies, Asil Architecture were commissioned to provide a scheme with an unusually high proportion of social and shared spaces and areas, to give residents a variety of ways to interact. Ranging from a roof terrace to a voluminous co-working space and shared kitchen, they were envisioned to create a new type of apartment block that would help avoid the isolation many renters can experience in the metropolis. The project is operated by Folk, an arm of Manchester-based build-to-rent operator Urban Bubble, and it's their second co-living scheme in the capital, the first being completed in Harrow in 2022. The developer clients were Co-Living Fund, C, and developer Halliken, who took over the project following the demise of co-living specialist developer The Collective in 2021. A casualty of the pandemic, they had initially engaged Asil to develop a feasibility study for the project in July 2018. The architect had been involved with reviewing options for the site on previous occasions for more traditional residential use, but the constrained, triangular plot, plus flood risk, previous industrial use and access issues, not to mention a nearby traveller's site, meant it was not pursued. Fast forward to 2024 and now this relatively quiet suburban corner of southwest London, where a Thames tributary, the River Wandle, once described as the hardest working river in London, crosses the railway line east of Wimbledon Park, now contains an important housing milestone. The brownfield site was previously occupied by stacked shipping containers, but had virtually none of the history of textile, paper and tobacco industry visible. Instead, there was a brick-built shed plus asbestos roof. It is bound to the north and west by a network rail eco corridor, the river to the east, and a recycling plant to the south. Sunday Mills has a relatively large quotient of affordable studios, with 110, 35% provided at discounted rents, something later co-living schemes will not be able to offer given recent London plan policy. Starting at only £182 per week, a key part of the development's success is that enables workers who have found it impossible to live in London to be located 20 minutes from Oxford Circus. The architects look to make the most of the riverside setting, and to maximise local connections, adding a new pedestrian bridge to neighbouring Earlsfield, but also making some of the shared spaces within the project flexible for community use. The scheme also includes the extension of the Wandle Trail cycle route into Merton, which is hoped to be created in 2025. Briefing. Discovering an absence of planning policies for the emerging concept of co-living, whereby tenants share some facilities but have their own space, the architects undertook initial pre-application meetings with the then-client The Collective in 2018 to promote this as the way forward for the site. These meetings including touring The Collective's original Old Oak co-living scheme designed by PLP. Following these discussions, a brief was established, and the scheme was submitted for planning in March 2019 and was approved at committee in July 2019. Ed Sharlin from Asil pays tribute to the client for giving them a lot of freedom in addressing the brief. They trusted us, and were a progressive brand that were keen to do something a bit more interesting. Community engagement included a community investment program, CIP, initiated early on by The Collective and appended to the Section 106 in the approved scheme, with the aim to deliver a shared vision with the local community. Asil Architecture says this is demonstrably influencing the building operation, manifested in partnerships with community groups like a local food bank, river cleanups, a theatre company, and a centre for adults with learning disabilities. The bigger picture of 35% of tenants being local or key workers gives the scheme a compelling tie-in to local social value. Procurement was by way of a single-stage tender, with the contractor appointed in September 2020. Asil were novated and construction began in November 2020, and was completed in October 2022 on time and budget. Overall design. The scheme, built using a design and build contract by Lang O'Rourke, was designed to interact with and enhance the riverside setting, say the architects, including with a new accessible pedestrian bridge connecting to the Wandle Trail. Ground floor amenities such as the cafe and co-working spaces have been positioned prominently, the former at the glazed southeast corner of the building behind Dramatic, industrial-inspired steel elements, to activate the riverfront and create a strong connection to the natural environment. The building responds closely to its constrained site, with two linked apartment blocks inspired by the site's industrial heritage, designed to address the river and railway respectively. They have been carefully orientated for users' benefit, and are connected by the double-height entrance. The cafe and restaurant provide further connection with the outside, with seating spilling out onto a terrace area enhanced by the sound of the river. The forms have been articulated slightly to offer more visual interest externally with a more organic, ad hoc feel, and better internal environments avoiding north-facing rooms. Each of the two connected blocks have been broken down into two further forms visually, of different heights, from 6 stories to 8. Associate Director at ASEL Emily Newton explains the approach further. We kink the two blocks to avoid single-aspect north-facing rooms and long continuous corridors. The volume facing the railway contains the kitchen, on the second floor, and connected dining space, offering different types of cuisine for both folks, tenants and locals to sample in the restaurant. Resident allotments on the terrace adjoining the kitchen contribute vegetables and herbs. There is a capacious roof terrace on the 6th floor, landscaped by Farah Hulley and Park Hood. The 1st floor contains most of the amenity spaces, with a lounge and breakout area sitting above the central reception. Towards the east flank and overlooking the river are the library and bookable private dining room, and behind the circulation core is the screening room with its cinema-sized screen and comfortable chairs. On the north end of the block is the co-working mezzanine, benefiting from diffused daylight and a variety of spaces to work, and the fitness suite sits along the western flank. Ed Sharlin says he believes the co-working space will be used extensively by residents, with a benefit that it enables them to easily separate their work/life space and time, due to it being separated from the living spaces. We know this has been an issue since COVID, and growth in flexible working. There's also a plan to allow local residents to use the space. Industrial inspiration. The building's industrial-style detailing includes large dark grey metal-framed windows in the brick facades, and different red and pink brick used across the forms breaks up the facades and gives the feel of a series of buildings constructed over time, as the mills of the past often were. Also, the varied roofscapes include pitched roof gables and a lantern-style front roof, giving a feel of old industrial buildings. The warehouse-inspired, highly regular fenestration arrangement is leavened by the splayed, chamfered forms of the window apertures, whose deep reveals provide dramatic shadows at certain times of day. Says Emily Newton, it creates a really nice zigzagging facade pattern. And the external fire escape stairs are in dark grey metal, a further contributor to the proudly industrial look. The industrial-style metalwork is a distinctive feature throughout, especially signaled by the external steel W-beams which support a section of the 1st floor above the double-height glazed entrance, and add some dynamics to the overall look. There are also the vertical I-beam columns, and perforated metal balustrading, and all elements are in dark grey. The external design language of earthy tones and unfinished surfaces, partly inspired by the river, continues in the interior, alongside notions of wabi-sabi design, embracing transience and imperfection. Featuring a pared-back material palette, the design was undertaken by ASEL's dedicated interior design arm, ASEL Interiors. Emily Newton comments that there is always a benefit when we have that aspect in-house, because we can work closely with the interiors department. Living spaces. The building's single-aspect ensuite studio rooms are generally 17 square meters, plus some duplexes located within the roof spaces at 25 square meters, and 30 square meters for wheelchair users, and all feature kitchenettes. Ed Sharland explains the focus on single-aspect as being an essential approach to support the multi-amenity concept here. Dual-aspect co-living rooms are difficult to achieve, with the building layout they're more like student or hotel rooms. He continues, on these kinds of challenging sites, you have a responsibility to include the correct amount of optimization density to make it work. You need a critical mass within co-living to enable you to provide those shared amenity spaces and the level of management they require. Creating that critical mass of co-living spaces also helps support the community feel, which is essential for this and similar projects to be a success. Everyone who lives there is encouraged to use the amenity spaces, and it's very attractive to people who are lonely. One of the big positives in the planning process was the potential to combat loneliness. The studios have been meticulously designed to maximize space and light, say the architects, through a combination of smart integrated storage, built-in joinery and full-height, opening windows. We pushed for these as part of the warehouse aesthetic, says Ed Sharland, revealing there were some calls to value engineer them towards an alternative which wouldn't be glazed down to the lowest level. The building's concrete frame enables exposed soffits, adding thermal mass to benefit cooling, and provides generous 2.7-meter floor-to-ceiling heights. Each studio comes with a double bed, and a Samsung TV, plus air conditioning and good storage, meaning people are able to move in without needing to furnish their home. However, beyond the pragmatic ability to live functionally in a central London site, the scheme has a variety of other key selling points which harness and support the benefits of shared living. The building offers residents access to a range of shared amenities and communal spaces, including a gym, yoga studio, and a large, well-landscaped roof terrace with great views across London. As well as the multiple co-working areas and cafe-restaurant, which are shared with locals, for relaxation the residents benefit from a cinema semi-private living spaces. There are also a range of more private nooks around the building, such as within the central entrance hub staircase, and window seats on the first floor overlooking the river. Last but not least, there's a fully equipped, MasterChef-style shared kitchen, fitted out to a professional standard, and enabling residents to cook socially together if desired, helping to increase their sense of connection and community. This is a 24-hour building, predicated around the fact that many workers who will be tenants here will be on a variety of shift patterns. This means that the amenities will be available to tenants around the clock, making full use of the building functions, as well as creating a set of challenges for the operator such as staffing. The development offers tenants a level of quality and finish which is comparable with that of a hotel, in the studios themselves as well as the various shared amenity spaces. For example, due to the care paid to acoustic insulation, the rooms facing the railway line are not troubled by excessive train noise. As part of the fully serviced nature of the compact studio flats, cooling as well as heating is provided, which means windows don't have to be open for a comfortable environment. Ecology and sustainability. The designers took various steps to try and minimize the impact on local nature. Careful consideration was given to the lighting levels, as well as the positioning of buildings to protect nocturnal wildlife and marine life, including bats and water voles around the site and along the river corridor. The all-electric development is BREEAM Excellent and EPC rated, and placed life cycle assessment of embodied carbon at the core of the design. Despite not being a planning requirement at the project's outset, the collective commissioned a carbon life cycle assessment. An analysis of material, efficiency and cost at each design stage saw changes including reusing the majority of the existing concrete slab, for piling mat and subbase, reduced concrete slab and floor buildup, and switching to a brick slip system. The assessment found embodied carbon for the product and construction stages was 544 co2e per square meter, below the LETI 2020 best practice target. Exposed concrete soffits to all studios and many amenity spaces contribute thermal mass. A range of green spaces were created, focusing on native species. Beehives, bat boxes, bird nesting, bug hotels, and wildflower meadow planting all contribute key biodiversity. The success of these measures will be measured over the next 10 years, as well as the performance of the roof PV arrays and the communal heat pump system. Kit is currently being installed to monitor individual energy use in studios, and architect and client are exploring ways to incentivize energy-efficient living. Building community spirit. The building is a rare combination of affordability and quality in the heart of the capital, creating a vital chance for tenants to be able to live closer to work. It's a testament to the co-living innovation of the collective, a much-missed pioneer, as well as the dedication of the architects, developers and investors. Aside from the excellent facilities, the residents will benefit from all-in rents inclusive of bills, which will help protect them from rising living costs. ASEL says a strong post-occupancy feedback loop is giving them lessons to feed into future schemes. This includes speaking to residents and operations teams to discover what is working well, and what can be improved. Over the six-year duration of this project, a strong relationship was established between ASEL and the developer, Halcyon. They refer to ASEL's deep commitment to deliver their design ethos and brand standards, and say that in the absence of clear planning standards and on a tricky and constrained site, they work to find innovative solutions that delivered efficient yet exciting architecture. This is one of the reasons why the building gained the local support which was critical to its success. One of the most satisfying aspects for ASEL is that their initial concepts survived through to completion virtually unscathed. And, in the words of Nick Dyer, Associate Director of Development at Halcyon Development Partners, Sunday Mills is a clear demonstration of how the practice can provide co-living that deliver a real sense of community. Here, he says, this has produced a scheme that the client is incredibly proud of.